Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. This is the podcast for philosophers, leaders, entrepreneurs, health professionals, coaches, and therapists with a spiritual and growth mindset and an interest in metaphysics. If constant progress is one of the most important measures of your life, and if you love to learn and grow, and doing something that makes a difference is what drives you, then you've tuned into the perfect podcast with Dr. John DeMartini. He's a human behavior expert with over 47 years of research into human behavior and performance. And the information in all of these episodes is practical, and you'll be able to apply to gain a significant advantage in all the areas of your life. Each week on this show, we address a new topic relating to human behavior. And in this episode, we'll be exploring the keys to mental health. It's a look at how our feelings of stress or distress stem from our inability to adapt to a changing environment and the benefits of stabilizing our perceptions in order to take command of our mental health. If you've not yet subscribed to the show, then make sure you click the subscribe button. That way, we're able to notify you as soon as we load new episodes. And if after listening to this episode, you love what you've learned, then rate this podcast and leave us a review. Also, help us help others by sharing this podcast with the people that you know who'd absolutely love to have the opportunity to learn this information too. So here's Dr. DeMartini for this week's podcast, The Keys to Mental Health. Enjoy.
I'm sure that you've had in your life periodically, particularly recently, with the challenges that have probably confronted you, a stressful, distracting state of mind. And you've probably felt more stressed than, well, I think in our life, we have moments of stress throughout our life that we perceive anyway, but probably more so with all the adaptation and changing that's happened in the last 7 months or so. I'd like to talk about your mental health. You sometimes can get perturbed from mental stability. And the question is how do you return to stable position? So I'd like to address that. So if you get a pencil and paper out or something to write with or write on or take notes on, that would be probably useful. First of all, I want to say that stress or distress is the inability to adapt to a changing environment. Inability to adapt to a changing environment. Why do we have the inability to adapt? Well, let's just break it down. We've had moments in our life where we've been infatuated with someone. We're infatuated with an idea or infatuated with an opportunity. And we perceive consciously more upsides than downsides. We're conscious of the upsides, unconscious of the downsides. We're a bit elated, we're excited, literally in excitement. And we are not fully conscious of both sides of the event. So we're conscious of the upsides, unconscious of the downsides. And we activate in our amygdala a dopamine impulse to strive for or seek that one-sided outcome. And so we are now infatuated with the outcome. We live in a fantasy, in a sense. Just like if you imagine meeting somebody that you're infatuated with, you imagine that there's going to be more positives and negatives in the future. That's why you want to be with them. There isn't, but you imagine it. You fantasize about it, so you've got that. The moment you perceive positive without negative, the moment you fear the loss of that which you seek. So I want to make a statement that the first form of distress that we have in our life is the perception of loss of that which we seek, that we assume has more positives than negatives, which by definition is a fantasy. And that we imagine in the future in our minds, we conjure in our minds an outcome with way more positives and negatives, way more gains and losses, way more advantages over disadvantages. And as a result of it, we fear the loss of that because we want the dopamine. So we get fixated on the dopamine rush. We fear that. And the dopamine withdrawals is an anxiety, a fear. So that's one form of phobia. And the fantasy is the name for a philia. So whenever we're philic, and we're seeking something that way, we have a phobia of its loss. So anything that we perceive, more positives than negatives, we have a phobia of about a loss. We also, and that's a seeking of prey in an animal wild situation. That's the seeking of prey. When we get food, oh, we'd be happier. Oh, what a relief, get food. We also have another form of distress where we are perceiving that a predator is coming towards us or a challenge coming to us, where we're perceiving in the future more drawbacks and benefits, more negatives and positives, more losses and gains, more disadvantage and advantage. And now we have a fear of that coming near us, and we have a fantasy of escaping it. So we have a desire to either run or attack it and to conquer it. But our fear of gain of that which we try to avoid is another form of distress. So let me summarize those. And that's when you're conscious of the negatives and unconscious of the positives, and you fear the gain of that. And so it's opposite, whatever the opposite of that thing that you're afraid of will be a philia, and you'll be seeking that. So the moment you have a philia, you are unconscious of the downsides. The moment you have a phobia, you're unconscious of the upsides, and you split your full consciousness, mindfulness, in half, and you're skewing it with a subjective bias and only seeing one side. And you've polarized and unstabilized your state of mind, your mental health. Now, there's two forms of distress: the perception of loss of that which you seek, prey, and the perception of gain of that which you're trying to avoid, predator. I'm going to say it again. The perception of loss of that which you seek or infatuate with, prey, and the perception of loss of gain of that which you try to avoid, predator. Now, anything that supports what you value most in life can be perceived as prey, and you can seek it. Anything that challenges what you value most can be perceived as predator. So this could be in any area of your life. You could have a perception of gain of money, and the loss of it now becomes stressful, or the perception of loss of money, and now that becomes distressful. The loss of that which you seek, right, or the gain of that which you don't want. So bills are distressful, and the loss of income is distressful. The gain of a relationship that you're infatuated with, or the loss of a relationship that you've been infatuated with, or the gain of one you don't want. Those are all distressful. So in every area of our life, we have distress as a result of polarization of perception. And when we see both sides, when we are infatuated with somebody, we're blind to the downsides. We're resentful to somebody, we're blind to the upsides. When we see both sides of them, and we are neutral, and we are objective — objectivity means neutral, non-biased, non-partial, non-subjectively biased, but neutral — then we don't fear the loss of it, we don't fear the gain of it. So if we are neutral, and we don't fear the loss of something, we're no distress. If we're not resentful and we're neutral, we don't feel the gain of it. So if we have a balanced perspective, we reduce our distress levels. And when we have a balanced perspective, we actually enhance our eustress levels. Eustress is wellness promoting. That's when you embrace the support and the challenge equally. It's been shown that biologically, we grow most at the border of support and challenge, the border of order and chaos, sometimes called. So when we embrace both of them in a balanced manner, we don't have distress. And our mind is stable and certain. Now, let me elaborate on this one more level here. If I walked up to you and I said to you, you were always nice, never mean, always kind, never cruel, always positive, never negative, always peaceful, never wrathful, your internal BS meter would go off, and you would be immediately intuitively thinking of the times when you weren't that always nice side. You'd be thinking of when you're cruel and mean and stingy, etc. Because you intuitively know that you're not one-sided. And if I was to go up to you and say, well, you're always mean, you're never nice, you're always cruel, you're never kind, you're always wrathful, never peaceful, always negative, never positive, always taking, never giving, your BS meter would go off again, and you'd be thinking of the times you've been nice and generous and kind. And so you're intuition automatically makes you aware of the other side when you're infatuated or resentful. It's trying to homeostate you and get you in balance to stabilize your mind where you're most resilient, most adaptable, least distressed, and most stable. If I said to you, sometimes you're kind, sometimes you're cruel, sometimes you're nice, sometimes you're mean, sometimes you're positive, negative, you would immediately have certainty. You would know. See, whenever we have subjective biases, we lose our certainty. And whenever we have our neutral state, we gain our certainty. And what's interesting is the moment we gain our certainty, we make decisions in itself. We're in a sense not offloading decision-making to others. We take command as a leader. So when we are balanced in our perspective, we have the highest probability of resilience, adaptability, leadership capacities, and we take action, proaction, not reaction. Emotional reaction like an animal trying to seek impulsively or avoid by instinct. Instincts and impulses are subcortical amygdala responses when we have subjectively biased, incomplete awarenesses that are not balanced. And we're an automaton reacting like an animal to the world around us, and the external world runs our life instead of the internal vision that is awakened when we are in our executive function, our reasonable, centered state, when we have a balanced mind. So when we're stable and not bipolar in a sense, and stable, we are the leader. Our mental health is enhanced to the degree that we can see both sides of an event. And we have events in our life that we think are terrible. Then a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years later, we look back at it and we go, I'm thankful that that occurred now. But I didn't see that initially. But we can, if we ask the right questions, see the other side immediately upon the experience. We can have the wisdom of the ages without the aging process by asking, how is this experience that we're seeing more drawbacks to? What are the upsides? And how is this experience we're seeing these all these positives? But what are the downsides? And our addiction to positive thinking and not wanting to look at the negative side and our subaddiction for negative thinking is what stops us from being resilient. Our fantasy. We've been taught in society by the opium of the masses, salespeople, that we're supposed to be one-sided. And that's not true. That's for the masses to be easily misled and easily governed because of the frustration and stress. So they offload their decisions to authorities, usually politicians or religious leaders. But when we go and balance our mind, we re-empower our lives and take command and start functioning from intrinsic levels. Now, what's interesting is if we live in alignment and congruent with what we value most, we are most objective, most resilient, most adaptable, most spontaneous, most inspired, and we solve a lot of our mental health issues. One thing, if there's one thing I could tell any human being to do on this planet, is to make sure you prioritize your life on a daily basis and be doing the things that are truly meaningful, inspiring, highest in priority, highest in productivity, the things that actually accomplish the most in a day. You have the highest resilience, adaptability, neutrality, and objectivity. You're least likely to go into amygdala where you end up with emotional distress and emotional bipolar responses. Now, depression is a comparison of your current reality, which is balanced, to a fantasy that you're addicted to that isn't. So as long as you have an unrealistic expectation on yourself or others or the world around you to be one-sided and expect a more advantage and disadvantage, the phobia is going to come up and the depression is the frustration of trying to get something that's not obtainable. As the Buddha says, the desire for that which is unobtainable and the desire to avoid that which is unavoidable is a source of human suffering. And so when we're striving to get a one-sided world in a two-sided world, we're going to end up being distressed. And a lot of our bipolar responses and our depression responses are simply because we have completely unrealistic expectations on the world or others or ourselves to be one-sided, or others to live in our highest values, or us to live in somebody else's values, or the world to live in our values. These delusions and unrealistic expectations are impossible to obtain and sustain, and they lead to depression because depression is a comparison of our current reality, which is balanced, to something that's fantasized. I've worked with many, many people who've had depression, and I can tell you, even though they will tell you it's a biochemical imbalance, which is true, but that's not causal, that's concomitant, but it's not causal. And we go around and we blame biochemical imbalances for our condition. And it's in the pharmaceutical companies love that. They like to promote that illusion so you can become dependent on them. But the real fact is it has nothing to do with just that. Because I've taken too many people in my years of working with people who have classically been called depressed and clinically depressed and diagnosed with that and put on medications and gone in there and uncovered the unrealistic expectations they have in their life, the fantasies that they're holding on to, the delusions that they're doing, the dissociations of pains that they stored in their subconscious mind that they're dissociating and wanting to avoid and setting up a fantasy about how life's supposed to be. And then they're depressed. I've gone in there and identified what the fantasy is, cracked the fantasy with the DeMartini method, the questions that balance it, found the upsides to the thing they think are depressed and the downsides to the fantasies about how they wish it would be, neutralized them out, and all of a sudden, poof, their depression, this clinical depression and diagnosis they have is gone, just freaking gone. And people think that's not possible, but it's fucking true. Excuse the expression, but it's just freaking true, and it's frustrating to hear this medical model keep bombarding people with something that's not all true. There are some cases where you might need the medical approach, but that's not the first approach. That is absolutely not the first approach. You lose your power, you give it away, and you depend on some sort of medication the rest of your life for something that you need to be accountable for. You don't even realize that every single moment in your life that you have an experience that you think is painful and you see the drawbacks to, and you don't take the time to find the upsides to, which your intuition's attempting to do, and you're choosing not to do it and ignore it, and you're wanting to dissociate from it and escape and put on a fantasy to try to avoid that world. The moment you do, you store that in your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind stores that experience. And anything will remind you of that, anything associated with that is compounding it. And when anxiety is nothing more than the secondary and tertiary compounding of events that are imbalanced initially in your perception that you're trying to escape and create a fantasy to go towards, and the addiction and fantasy that thing is going to give you more happiness and sadness in your imagination compounds that state. And now more and more associations and more feeding of fantasies and more reminding of this original experience polarizes your mind into a bipolar state and creates this depression and fantasy. And even though people like to think that you can have a depression without a fantasy, I've not seen one. In all the years I've been doing this with people, I've not seen people that are depressed without comparing their current reality to some fantasy that they're elated by. So there is no depression without elation, but they're only conscious of one at a time. And they go to their doctor and talk about it, run their story and be victims of their story. And the doctor just says, here, take a medication, or here, do a therapy, and to try to get back to one-sidedness again. Your mind is homeostatic. It is designed to bring your chemistry and your electronics in your brain back into balance. And your intuition is attempting to do it. Your physiology with its symptoms are trying to wake you up to see both sides of life. Your sociology is humbling you and neutralizing you to try to get you there. The world around you is actually attempting to normalize you to get you back into a resilient and adaptive state so you're not fearing the loss of things or the gain of things. You're actually present with things. And things are neutral. There are no good or bad events out there until somebody with a set of criteria and context, with a narrowed mind, choose to subjectively bias their perception and label themselves. There's just events. And if we go and look at events from a neutral perspective, then we are more resilient, adaptable, and can use them to our advantage and see them on the way and not attach to this a fantasy or nightmare that we make out of our lives. So I'm a firm believer that we need to learn to ask questions. For years, I've been developing a methodology on the questions to ask to help stabilize the mind. Because people that have grief, or people that have depression, or people that have bipolar, or people that are dissociated, a lot of these psychological states are there because of experiences that they've chosen not to see both sides to.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue this episode.
Every weekend in the Breakthrough Experience, I have people with that think that they've been abandoned or think that they've been hurt or they think they've been criticized or been abused or put labels on things. And I go in there and I go, instead of labeling it and subjectively distorting it with some generalization, why not stop and look at what actually occurred? Okay, somebody verbally criticized you. Okay. And by the way, what were you doing that was challenging your value that they would want to do that? Were you cocky? Were you self-righteous? Were you projecting? Were you expecting? Were you doing something that went against what they valued? Were you being disobedient? Were you being dishonorable? What were you doing? I've not seen a case where there's this innocent victim in there. Pardon if that just offends you, but by God, it's time to wake up and look at that. Because I find what I see is when people are accountable, they can do something with their life. If they blame somebody and dissociate, think, well, they did it. I'm an innocent victim. They run their story being a victim of their history instead of a master of their destiny. But if they actually see that their dynamic is playing in this and what role they're playing in the dynamics, they liberate themselves and they realize that they have control over three things in their life. They have control over their perception, decisions, and actions. They can take that perception that they think is terrible. They can find the upside and spin it and neutralize it. It's not that it's negative. It's just chosen to be negative because you're choosing to not look and be accountable and bring your balance sheet back into balance and see both sides of it. In the Demartini method that I teach in the Breakthrough Experience, it's a very interesting question. You have an event in your life you think is terrible. You have this individual that did a particular act that you labeled awful. And you go, okay, what specific trait, action, inaction do you perceive this individual displaying or demonstrating that you disliked, despised, and hated most? Okay, they verbally criticized you. Okay, or they hit you across the face. Or whatever it may be. Okay, great. Now, what you do is you now look and reflect. Because it's unfair to judge somebody with something that what they've done when you're not looking at yourself. You know, the old biblical statement, pluck the mote out of your own eye before you pluck it out of somebody else's. So now you go to the moment where and when you perceive in your own life, yourself, displaying or demonstrating the same or similar behavior or trait, action, inaction that you despised in them. And you go and find out where you've done it. Now, I've been doing this for 30-something years now, 35 years, and I've yet to find something that somebody sees in others that they haven't got in their own life. And every week, I got people saying, no, I don't do that. I pride myself in never doing that. I would never do that. Bull. I've been doing this 35 years, and I'm absolutely certain you will not see something in somebody else without you. If you're being upset about it, it's reminding you of something you're feeling ashamed of inside yourself. It's an ancient proverb. But it's being accountable to take a look. Because once you realize that the reason they're doing it is to wake you up and make sure you don't leave something hanging in your own subconscious mind that's running you and allow you to see the benefits of it and ask yourself, where have I done that? And you own it 100%. That softens some of the judgment and makes you realize what roles you did in doing it, why you did it, when you did it, and now why they may be doing it. You might start reflecting on what role you're playing in the dynamic. And then you go and ask, go to a moment where and when you perceive them displaying or demonstrating that specific trait, action, or inaction that you despise most. And in that moment, and from that moment now to now, how did it serve you? If you find out and just say, well, it doesn't, well, you're the victim. And you're going to be angry. And then they're going to run you. And then you're going to be a victim of your history. And then you're going to be wanting to avoid it and be seeking its fantasy and then fearing its loss and fearing that gain. And you're now lost your resilience and adaptability. And you got now a mental health issue. Now you're living in phobias and fantasies, and you're kind of bipolar, swinging from one to the other. When you're around people that are doing one, you're depressed. If you're around another, now you're elated. These are illusions, and you run from an external world instead of being commanding from within. When you live by your highest values, you're objective and you're resilient, and you balance out your perspectives, and you don't let the world around you. You don't see bad or good out there. You see gray. You see neither good nor evil. You see an event, and you have the resilience. So you go and find out the benefits, stack up the benefits. When the benefits equal the drawbacks and you're neutral, it has no power over you. Nothing. It's an event. And you see just as many advantages. And you now see it on the way, not in the way. And now instead of having to run toward the fantasy, which is unobtainable, and trying to avoid that, which is unavoidable, and sitting there in your suffering and your passionate frenzy for a fantasy, you're now centered. Now your depression is not there. Now your fantasy is not there. Your grief of this loss of the fantasy and this grief of this gain of this nightmare is gone. You're stable. You're resilient. You've returned back to your executive function. You're more likely to be fulfilled and inspired. Fulfillment means filling full the mind of what's empty. And everywhere, when we're looking down at something that we resent and we're too proud to admit we see what we see in them inside us, we have an emptiness. We're too humble to admit what we see in them inside us. We're infatuated and fantasizing. We are disowning that part and again, empty. But when we actually have reflective awareness and own what we see, we have stability. I've been doing the Demartini method and developing it since I was 18 years old and clinically working with it for about 35 plus years. And it's simple. It's really simple. The questions you ask in your life make you cognizant of what you've been unconscious of and liberate you from the misperceptions of a subjective bias that you're trapped in, that you're polarizing your life with, which is adding to your distress levels, adding to your non-resilient levels. And if you ask those questions, and they're simple questions, and hold yourself accountable to them, you can neutralize them in minutes, not years, minutes. In hours, you've cleared stuff that's been baggage for years, I've seen. Every weekend, the breakthrough experience, I've seen people with baggage from parents and relationships and marriages and kids and injuries and beatings and sexual issues and you name it. There is nothing on this outer world. There's nothing your mortal body can experience to your senses that your immortal soul, the state of unconditional love, can't transcend and integrate. And so mental health is actually the ability to ask questions, to stabilize your perceptions and take command of your life again. And to go and blame some external source for your problems and your mental health, to me, is not the solution. In rare cases, it exists. I won't deny that on rare cases it is. But most people just run off to their little pill factory, go get their little pill for every ill, and go and neutralize themselves that way instead of taking command. And most people can't face the truth of their nature. They're too fragile as an ego to face the truth that they're both-sided. See, I many years ago, I went to the dictionary, an Oxford dictionary, and I went and I found 4,628 traits in my behavior. And I went through the dictionary and I circled all the traits that a human being can have, 4,628 traits. When I went through that dictionary and I found that, and then I looked inside myself and I found that I had every one of them. I was times that I was nice, and I was times that I was mean, I was kind, I was cruel, I was honest, I was dishonest, I was open, I was closed, I was considerate and inconsiderate. And I went through there, cruel, kind, and I realized that I had every one of those traits, if I was honest, and that every one of those traits had a place. There's a time and a place for every one of those behaviors. And it's idyllic and fantasy to think you're supposed to be one-sided and try to get half of yourself, get rid of it. I've watched people try to get rid of half of their life and be only one-sided for years and never found it achieving. Nobody gets rid of a side of their life. If I asked you, what are the traits you've been trying to get rid of in your life? Meanness, kind, whatever in your life, anger, whatever. You still got it. You're not going to get rid of some part of yourself. You got to learn to love all parts of yourself. How are you going to love yourself if you're trying to get rid of half of yourself? How are you going to love the world if you're trying to get rid of half of it? How are you going to have a stable physiology and psychology if you're constantly bipolarizing yourself by trying to get rid of one side and only be one side? That's like trying to get a one-sided magnet, which is unobtainable. If you cut the magnet in half and try to get a monopole, you won't find it. Even in quantum theory, in quantum fluctuations with the uncertainty principle, you only have transient monopoles, and those may actually be entangled after all. Physics hasn't confirmed that yet. There is no monopole in our reality. But people live in a fantasy, an opium of the masses, trying to get a one-sided world instead of embracing the two sides that life has to offer. Because you need maximum growth, and that occurs at the border of the two sides. So if you get support and you get to pray and you get food, you get gluttonous, you get overweight, you get out of fitness. If you get the predator eating you and you get starving and emaciated, you get out of fitness. But if you put the two together, support and challenge, nice and mean, kind and cruel, you put them together, you maximize your growth. You'll find out across the world, there's a social hierarchy and a network of all kinds of different value systems, and they're complete opposites. And the law of heuristic escalation shows that the more you try to promote one, the other escalates to balance it. Nature has a wisdom that we, with our fantasy world, overlook. And that it is trying to keep us centered and homeostatic. Life itself is negentropic homeostasis and allostasis, constantly being perturbed, a dynamic system of equilibriums going on and constantly returning back. And our intuition and our physiological homeostatic mechanisms are trying to get us there. So if we schedule a fantasy and have an unrealistic expectation, we're going to perturb our life. If we expect to be in a marriage, for instance, it's all nice, never mean, all kind, never cruel, all support, never challenge, we're going to end up with anger and aggression, blame and betrayal, criticism and challenge, despair and depression, desire to exit and escape, frustration and futility, desire to have grief and grouchiness, hatred and hurt, irritability and insanity. We're going to have the ABCDFGHIs of negativity as a result of an unrealistic expectation. But if we realize that a human being that we're in a relationship with, or a business that we have a relationship with, or a goal, which a real objective is a balanced goal, then we have something we can obtain. We can't obtain a one-sided state. So our mental health is disturbed by the pursuit of monopolar perceptions. And they break us apart and they separate the inseparables, divide the indivisibles, label the unlabelables, name the ineffables, polarize the unpolarizables, and unstabilize the stableables. And we're capable of setting real objectives if we stick to our highest priorities and get objective. The Demartini method is a science on how to return to that state. My value training program that I teach on how to get live by highest values, how to determine what your values are and determine what your highest one is and live by the highest values. The combination living by priority and asking the Demartini method questions that help you neutralize it is one of the most powerful ways that you can do it yourself. Instead of having to take a pill, instead of having to go to your therapist, whatever, you have command over your own life. But you may not have ever been given the permission to do it. You've not given yourself permission to take command of it. And you can. And you can learn it. And you can apply it. And you can see the results on the spot in the minutes you do it. Every time you answer the questions with accountability, you watch the physiological and psychological stability return. I've seen it, been watching it for 30-something years, and I'm certain about it. And it's insane not to take advantage of learning it. So your mental health is constantly trying to get yourself stable. It's attempting your brain. Your brain is a highest value seeking organ. It's looking for objective reason. It's looking for order in chaos. It creates order if it can't find it until it finds it. It's designed to homeostate. It's got feedback systems chemically, electronically, and biophysiologically. There's tremendous amount of feedback loops in the system to try to homeostate you. And if you don't perturb it by delusions and unrealistic expectations, it will do its job. And if we ask the quality questions, the quality of our lives based on the quality of the questions we ask, if we ask the quality questions I've outlined in the Demartini method to help you stabilize that, you're not going to be living in the fear of that which you seek, fear of loss of what you seek, and fear of gain of what you are trying to avoid all the time. That's insanity. Insanity is expecting the world to somehow match your fantasy. It's not going to. The world is set up by 7.8 billion people, all with unique sets of values. The culmination of all those cancel each other out and balance each other out in a homeostatic mechanism. Countercultures are there constantly to try to neutralize the illusions of one-sidedness. And nature has a wisdom to do it. If you look in your family has the wisdom of it. Whatever you're dedicated to, you got an antiparticle brother or sister. Whoever you marry or disown parts to try to make sure that those are balanced. Nature has a way you keep attracting people to keep confronting the things that's stored in your subconscious mind to wake you up. The universe is working on your behalf. And it's a living, beautiful system. It's a magnificent world we actually live in. We people are sitting there and thinking it's not, but it is. It's really more intelligent than we comprehend. And it's us that have delusions and unrealistic expectations that are making us unstable. And then there's misinformation, all the social media channels, and that which circulates the most usually has the least value. And we go around and we go on social media and don't even realize it's controlling us extrinsically by the opium of the masses, whatever sells and sells dopamine. And we're bombarded by that instead of actually using it and selectively using the social media wisely by priority, based on your values, based on your mission, and do something amazing and contribute information on that to help stabilize yourself and the people around you. And I'm absolutely certain you have the capacity to restabilize whatever perturbation you've experienced that has caused you so-called mental illness. I've seen grief dissolved, my grief method, I'm absolutely guarantee I've done it 3,580 something times in deaths, and I've taken and dissolved grief. I'm certain about it. We've done it under studies at a university. We've done it in television and radio. We've done it in crisis care and groups. I'm absolutely certain that you have the capacity to transform perceptions. We keep giving power to the external world instead of realizing it's all within. You have control of your perception, decisions, and actions. If you can prioritize your perceptions and link everything that happens in your life and your perceptions to your highest values, you will be resilient and adaptable and empowered. And if you can prioritize your daily actions towards that highest one and make a decision to do both, you reclaim your life and you can master your life. I'm interested in helping people master their life. And there's absolutely no reason why you can't master it. You don't have to be victims of history. You don't have to be bipolarized all over the place. You don't need a day of medication because of your little distress levels. That's not the solution, in my opinion. And I know that that's probably sounding biased to some of you that are used to pharmaceutical world, but I haven't had a medicine in 30, 47 years now. And it's not something you got to have in your life. It's choice. You educate yourself and learn how to do something that takes accountability. The people don't want to work and they want to go and take a quick fix. But you have the capacity to take command of your life if you're willing to learn. And once you master it, you change your power. And you can empower your life or disempower it. The Demartini method was there designed to empower your life. It was designed to take command of your life. It's designed to help you become masterful. It's designed to help you integrate that which you've got perturbed. It's allow you to take the things that you're infatuated or resentful to and neutralize them. So you're not run by the external world. You're run by your vision. The thing that you want to contribute on the planet that's deeply meaningful to you. The mean is the mean. The mean is the middle point. When you extract the mean from things, when you're infatuated, you're extracting and finding the downside. That takes you back to the mean. When you're resentful to something, you're finding the upside. That takes you back to the mean. When you get back to the mean, you're centered and you have meaning. So if you want meaning, if you want fulfillment, you can't have fulfillment if you're seeing half of it missing. Fulfillment, meaning, inspiration, gratitude, love, certainty, presence. That's what the living by your highest value and living and doing the Demartini method is about. So if you want stabilized mental health, it's available to you if you're willing to work. If you don't want to work, well, I guess you'll go to the alternative one. You'll try to go to somebody to listen to your story so you can be a victim of your story and run your story for years and years and years. Or you'll take some sort of medication. And I'm not saying that medication doesn't have a place in some cases, but way, way, way less than what's being done today. So all I can say is I want to share that because if you're perturbed by the challenges around you, just know the challenges aren't anything but your perceptions. The challenges are your perceptions. I've seen people who've been through the most amazing challenges in their life, and I've seen them turn it into opportunity and no longer see it that way. I watched a guy that supposedly lost $750 million and had his bank account cleaned out by a business partner in a hedge fund deal. $750 million, boom, from $750 million to zero. And I watched him in 48 minutes turn that into one of the grace, tear-jerking thank yous and opportunities. And you probably think, well, how could that possibly be? It was absolutely mind-blowing to watch it. The quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. If you ask amazing questions, your life can be amazing. And the amazing questions are one that bring you back into stability and equilibrium out of the perturbations of your perceptions that you've chosen subconsciously to imbalance. And if you balance it, you're freed. And some people don't believe it's that simple, but it is. And it's not simple in the sense of taking accountability, but it's simple once you do. And if you take that, it's available. We also, I just want to give you a reminder, there's a gift at the end of this little presentation. Last week, I did a presentation that I want to mention to you. It's basically how to discover the hidden order in your that underlies and unites and empowers all of us. It was a very powerful presentation, one of my more out there and inspiring down the rabbit hole kind of presentations. The views of this have been off the chart. It's free. It's a complimentary gift. But what I want you to do is I want you to just listen to it a few times and really grasp what's there. Because if you have mental health issues, listen to that 4 or 5 times. It'll help you recenter yourself and then find a way of getting to the breakthrough experience and learn the Demartini method or get access to the Demartini method if you can and read the values factor to get back onto priority in your life. It will stabilize your mental health And if you have questions about it, we've got OLARC questions on our website. You can contact us and we'll do what we can to help. But just know, please take advantage of that free gift. It's a mind-blowing presentation I did on finding the hidden order in your apparent chaos. Because there is order in your life that you're not seeing. And the second you see it, your mental health issues can dissolve. Instead of dissociating from nightmares and looking for fantasies, you can stabilize your life and appreciate the magnificence of your life. So I just wanted to take the time to do that. Also, check out our YouTube channel. And there's lots of YouTube educational experiences just like this one. If this has been of value to you, take advantage of that. Please share that with people. Pass the torch on to other people. If you know somebody, while I was talking here, you thought of somebody that could have benefited from hearing this, get a copy of this, get it to them, and let them know about the YouTube videos, because we're here to educate. And that information, when it gets out there, it can make a difference in people's life. We get thousands of letters and emails coming in from people that says, thank you, it made a difference in our life. DeMartini Show and podcast, and take advantage of our website. Our website is filled with educational. Our media section in there is filled with it. The DeMartini Method is on there. The value determination process on there. Take advantage of all of them. Please pass that torch, because there's no way people have to be sitting there running their stories and being victims of their history when they can be masters of destiny.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.